Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Tonight we are going to begin our study by simply reading chapter 1. As you're turning over to 1 John chapter 1, you'll notice that this particular chapter isn't very long. There are only 10 verses, and as I was thinking about this lesson, I figured, you know, this would be just a great way to start our lesson tonight by simply reading these 10 verses. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Apostle John, writing by inspiration, says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." As we think about this great book written to Christians and the purpose of the Apostle John's writing, John teaches us that it's fellowship with God that makes the Christian life so full of joy. Again, think about that fellowship that we have with God, and that is what makes us such a happy people tonight. And as you continue to look at chapter 1, we see that John is encouraging all Christians to walk in the light, as He is in the light. And when we walk in the light, we maintain that fellowship. Walking in the light is key to maintaining fellowship with God. As long as we are walking in the light, John says we have that fellowship with God. But still in chapter 1, we see one of the greatest dangers we face, one of the greatest things that can destroy that fellowship with God is sin. And man struggles with sin. We struggle with sin. Mankind has the propensity to sin because of man's weakness. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." As we stop and think about the struggle of sin, sin is something that we all struggle with, and that's why the Apostle John is encouraging us here in chapter 1 as we strive to maintain that fellowship with God by walking in the light, learning to have the right attitude toward sin. That's the last part of chapter 1. Again, as we walk in the light, as we strive to maintain fellowship with God, we understand that sin is something that we all struggle with. And so John is encouraging us to develop the right attitude towards sin. Well, maybe you're wondering, Clay, what is the right attitude towards sin? The right attitude towards sin is seen in chapter 1, verse number 9, and it's conditional. John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what the Apostle John is encouraging all of us to do. To confess our sins, to put our name on it. Don't cover them up, don't deny it, but confess those sins. By verse 9, you may want to write down Proverbs 28, verse number 13, where Solomon says these words, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God wants us to know that as we walk in the light and as we confess our sins before Him, we will have His mercy. We have His continual forgiveness. But I want you to think about this a little further. As you think about our struggle with sin, there's no question that as we think about our lives that we've all sinned. The Bible teaches us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse number 23. But as you look at Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, the Apostle Paul is showing us that sin is a fact of our past. We've all sinned. We have all violated God's law. The Apostle John is writing to Christians. Christians who are now walking in the light. Christians that are striving to be pleasing to God. And as we think about this attitude that we are to have towards sin, from the book of 1 John, our attitude needs to be this. Sin is now a fight in the present. We must maintain that attitude if we're going to be the true children of God. Sin is a fight in the present. Oh, I know it's a fact of my past, and I know it is a fact of your past. But now that we are the children of God, sons of God, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, we are now fighting against sin. And let me show you this attitude from this book. Look at 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, notice with me verse number 6. The Apostle John says, "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." And then drop down to verse number 9. 1 John 3, verse 9. The Apostle John says these words, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, a lot of people get confused with this. They'll read 1 John chapter 1, and then they'll turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Well, John tells me in chapter 1 that the sin is something that I'm going to struggle with, and sin is something that I need to confess to God. But over here in chapter 3, it sounds like to me, if I'm a faithful child of God, I'm not going to sin. That's not what John is saying. What the Apostle John is saying here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, and also verse number 9, is this. As the true children of God that are walking in the light, we are not going to persistently live in sin. And we must see that from this book, because the Apostle John is talking about a lifestyle. He's talking about walking in the light versus walking in darkness. Those who walk in darkness, they persistently live in sin. Those who walk in the light, they commit sin. You see the difference? They don't persistently live a lifestyle of sin, of darkness. But as children of God, we understand that sin is something that we commit. And as we walk in the light, it's something that we confess before God. That is how we fight against sin. And that's how we win the battle against sin. I'll talk more at the end of the lesson about the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin. But I hope you see the attitude that we are to develop, that we are to maintain as the children of God in order to help avoid the temptation of sinning against God. All of us need to take sin seriously. And we can take sin seriously by studying sin seriously and understanding exactly what sin is and understanding the various kinds of sin. Well, Clay, what do you mean the various kinds of sin? Sin is sin. Sin is a transgression, a violation of God's law. Well, that's exactly right, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Did you realize in Scripture, though, we read about the various kinds of sin? For example, in Scripture, we read about secret sins. We also read about besetting sins. We read about presumptuous sins, and then we also read about willful sins. And I'm convinced that if we have a better understanding of sin, we're in a better position, we are better equipped to fight against it. And that's what we're emphasizing tonight. We need to be fighting against sin. And if we're going to be in a position to fight against sin, we need to understand the various kinds of sin. And I'm going to highlight these various kinds of sin that I just mentioned in the Scripture. And I hope you will jot down these points, these passages, and think about this week as we strive to walk in the light. Let's first consider secret sins. Secret sins are those sins that we commit unknowingly. Sometimes these secret sins are referred to as ignorant sins. They are sins which we commit, but we may not be aware of. You realize under the old law in Leviticus chapter 5, 14 through 19, there was a sacrifice for ignorant sins. You know, as we think about ignorant sins, sins that we may commit unknowingly, usually the case is we commit sins unknowingly because of ignorance. Because perhaps of a lack of spiritual maturity that really goes back to our lesson this morning. We see why it's important for us to grow spiritually speaking. Why we need to study and know God's Word, because we don't want to remain in a state of ignorance. We want to think about everything that we do. And we should be thinking about every decision we make by consulting God and His Word. The language of 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. We are to test all things and we're to hold fast to that which is good and right. God wants us to make good decisions. Sometimes we may make bad decisions and may not even realize it, especially if we are a babe in Christ. A Christian who just recently obeyed the gospel is going to perhaps struggle more with sin than someone who's been in the body of Christ for over a period of years because of their spiritual growth. But secret sins can also be sins which are concealed from the eyes of others. And there are numerous examples of secret sins. Those sins that were concealed from the eyes of others. For example, in Joshua chapter 7, you have Achan's sin. And you remember how he hid the spoil, how he hid that which he took. He hid it from everybody else. Or what about David's sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 12? Or what about the sin of Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11? Even though sin seeks secrecy, such secret sins will not likely remain secret. The Bible also teaches us your sins will find you out. Numbers 32, verse number 23. I believe that's a principle. Your sins will find you out. You know, that's the worst thing about sin. Heaven knows it. Now, as you think about the secrecy of sin, sin seeks secrecy. And you see people trying to cover up their sins, but you can't hide your sins from God. I like what Jeremiah said about God in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 24. God says this, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do I not feel heaven and earth?" But that's what so many people will do. They'll commit sin. They're deceived by sin. They'll hide their sins from other people. Nobody knows what they're doing, but they can't hide their sins from God. Secret sins are not hidden from God. They will be brought to the light at judgment. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 14, Solomon made that very point. Every secret thing, whether it be good or evil, will be brought before God in the day of judgment. I like that idea, every secret thing, because you remember as you study chapter Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 concerning our good works that we do in Christ Jesus, we're to do those things in secret to the best of our ability. We don't go around tooting our horn, look at what I have done. Well, we do those things in secret, and God sees those good things that are done in secret. But Solomon says God also sees the bad things that are going on in our life. And when we understand that about God, that you can't hide from God, that should encourage all of us, again, to practice 1 John 1, verse number 9. As we walk in the light, we confess our sins. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 24, Paul says, "Some men's sins are open before the judgment, and they that follow otherwise cannot be hid." Now you stop and think about that, and I know that's in the context of leadership, but think about the principle there that's being taught. There are people in this world that live openly in sin. They don't care what people think about them. They could care less what they do, what others may think. Some of them don't even care if God sees them. But Paul is making a powerful point. There are others that are good at hiding their sins. And you think about those examples that we talked about. But Paul says again, even those that hide their sin, they're going to give an account on the day of judgment. And so when we stop and study sin seriously, and when we understand what sin does to us, we shouldn't try to hide our sins from God. We should, out of humility, confess those sins. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, we're to be clothed with humility. A person that is clothed with humility will have a broken and contrite heart. That's the person that will come before the throne of God like the prodigal son did. Father, I have sinned against thee. But you take a person who's full of himself, he's not going to confess his sin. He's not going to come before the throne of God asking God for mercy, pleading with God, asking Him for forgiveness. But we should, if we're walking in the light, because we want to maintain that fellowship with God. If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Next, we have besetting sins. Hebrews chapter 12, we read about those besetting sins. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, we're introduced to that Christian race that we've talked about so often. Beginning at verse 1, the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside," listen to it, "every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Besetting sins are those sins that cling close to us because they are easily committed. Besetting sins could be bad habits. Bad habits are hard to break. Maybe gambling, maybe drinking, maybe the bad habit of cursing. All of those would be besetting sins. Having a bad habit. Perhaps another besetting sin could be a bad attitude. Always murmuring. Always complaining. If we find ourselves doing that, we see that we're struggling with this. And so as you think about besetting sins, those are those sins that are easily committed. Sins that we may struggle with. Again, it could be a bad habit. It could be a bad attitude. It could be the way that we talk. The way that we communicate. It could be misplaced affection. Remember, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. It may be a sin of the flesh that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. Whatever it is that easily trips us up, the writer of Hebrews says we are to lay it aside. That idea that we introduced already, we have to fight against it. And when we understand what secret sins are, and when we understand what besetting sins are, you see, we're in a position to examine ourselves, because remember what we said. We all struggle with sin. It might be ignorant sin. It might be besetting sins. But sin is something that we all struggle with. And if we're going to fight against sin, we all have to know and understand our weaknesses so that we can work on those weaknesses. What if it is cursing? What if it is lying? What if it is a bad habit? Well, the first thing you need to do is own up to it. You need to acknowledge it. Father, I'm struggling in this. I need Your help. Turn to God's Word, because I promise you, God's Word will provide the remedy. Maybe you're struggling with anger. The Bible has a lot to say about anger and how to control that anger, how to defeat it. You see, if we don't learn to master sin, you know what sin's going to do to us? It's going to master us. It's going to consume us. And we can learn to master sin, avoid sin, by understanding the various kinds of sin. Then there is presumptuous sin. Go back to the Old Testament and turn to Psalm 19. Turn over to Psalm 19. And here in Psalm 19, we read about presumptuous sin. Psalm 19. And notice with me Psalm 19, verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, secret sins. We mentioned that already. Look at verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is when we take matters into our own hands, according to our own dictates, rather than being guided by the Word of God. The Word of God is our roadmap. The Word of God should guide us as we go through this life. And everything that we need to know to be that perfect spiritual man has been revealed in God's Word. The language of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But there's the challenge, you see. And we've been emphasizing the challenge. There's a way that seems right unto man, Proverbs 14, verse 12. Then there's a way that is right. And we learn in Hosea 14, verse 9, Jehovah's ways are right. But again, presumptuous sin is when we take matters into our own hands. And listen to what the psalmist is saying. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. I like what the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, 133. Lord, order my steps in thy word. And when we allow God through his word to direct us, to order our steps, his word will keep us, his word will protect us from committing presumptuous sin, where we take matters into our own hands, when we do our own thing. As you continue to read Psalm chapter 19, verse number 13, we see that presumptuous sin is also called the great transgression. The great transgression. Well, what are some biblical examples of presumptuous sin? You might write down Numbers chapter 20. You remember in Numbers chapter 20, beginning around verse number 7, Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Or what about Leviticus 10? Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire. Fire that was not authorized by God. They took matters into their own hand. It's no big deal what we offer to God. They did their own thing, and we see they suffered the consequences. Another example would be Uzzah touching the ark of God in 2 Samuel chapter 6. God told God's people how to transport the ark. But Uzzah, and really David, took matters into their own hands. They did their own thing, and they suffered the consequences. You know, there are many examples of presumptuous sin today. What about when a man stands in front of the pulpit and says, you know, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved, and yet we know what the Bible says about baptism and salvation. Or what about when somebody says one church is as good as another? What are they doing? They're taking matters into their own hands. They're crossing the line. Or when somebody says it doesn't matter, this is probably a big one, it doesn't matter how you worship. You know, we all worship the same God. Well, we know in Scripture it matters how we worship. In John 4, 23 and 24, if we're going to offer true worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. So does it matter how we worship? Yes, it matters. It's imperative that we worship God in spirit and in truth. But if I was to stand before you tonight and say, well, it doesn't matter, again, I would be guilty of presumptuous sin, taking matters into my own hand. And presumptuous sin is dangerous, because when an individual crosses that line, sin sears their conscience. It hardens their heart. And we shouldn't be surprised sometimes when we hear people say what they're saying, because their heart has been deceived and their heart has been seared by sin. And then finally tonight, as we look at the fourth kind of sin, let's talk about willful sin. This perhaps is maybe a little bit more of a challenging one. This is found in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I think when we look at the background, or we understand the book of Hebrews, we begin to understand what the writer is saying about willful sins. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice with me verse number 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, you think about what the writer is saying. Sometimes we struggle with this in understanding what willful sin is. When we know the truth and do what is opposite of the truth, when we deliberately live a lifestyle of wrongdoing, some will conclude, well, that person can't be forgiven, you know, because of what the writer says here in verse 26 about willful sin. Well, as you look at what the writer is saying here in verse number 26, the willful sin here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, has to do with these Christians leaving Christ, leaving Christianity, and going back to Judaism. They knew that Christianity was the true religion. The writer is writing to Christians who obeyed the gospel, but they were turning their back, they were turning their minds away from Christ, and they were wanting to go back to Judaism. And the point that the writer is making is this: if you willfully go back to Judaism, knowing that Christianity is the true religion of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Go back to chapter 10, verse 4. We see that the sacrifice of animals could not take away sins. That's what these Christians were guilty of doing. They were leaving Christianity and willfully going back to Judaism. That is the willful sin that we see. But I believe that there are practical points that we can consider as we think about how willful sin can apply to us even today. Well, as you think about willful sin, we know something is wrong, but we do it anyway. We know something is wrong, but we do it anyway. That's why willful sin is so dangerous. I believe James is talking about willful sin in James 4, verse number 17, when James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But you stop and think about James 4, verse 17. Who's guilty of that? Well, I guess all of us in here probably should raise our hand. We're probably all guilty of James 4, verse 17. We know what is right, but we struggle against sin, and we willfully do what is wrong at times. But if we're walking in the light, we're not going to persistently do that, you see. we're going to confess those faults. You know, as you stop and think about the various kinds of sin, whether it be secret sins, whether it be presumptuous sin, whether it be besetting sins, whatever sin it is, there is forgiveness with God. And so how do we avoid these kinds of sins? Well, first of all, we need to be aware that we can commit such sins. We can commit secret sins. We can commit besetting sins, willful sin, presumptuous sin. Secondly, like the psalmist, we need to pray to God. We need to ask God to help us be aware of such sins. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 19:12? Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Thirdly, we need to grow in a knowledge of God's Word, gaining a better understanding of what sin is and allowing God's Word to dwell in our hearts so we can fight against the various kinds of sin that we all struggle with. One of my favorite passages is found in Psalm 119, verse number 11, where the psalmist says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." You see, when we hide the Word of God in our hearts, we're in a position to fight against sin. And we can defeat sin only through Jesus Christ. If we're going to avoid sin, another thing that we all must do is practice that self-examination as we are commanded to do. Those who walk in the light, remember, they don't persistently live in sin. We'll commit sin, but we confess those sins. But finally, as we think about how to avoid sin, as we think about how to deal with our sins, we need to remember the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover our secret sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover presumptuous sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover besetting sins, willful sins, if we practice 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, may God help us understand sin. And may God help us take sin seriously by studying sin seriously, by understanding how we should respond to sin. Remember, sin is a fact of our past, but now it's a fight in the present. And we can fight against sin as we walk in the light, maintaining that fellowship with God, having the blood of Jesus Christ, continually cleansing our sins as we confess our sins. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you anyway, live a better life spiritually speaking, if we can assist you in becoming a child of God, we would love to sit down. We would love to study God's Word to show what you must do in order to be saved. If there's anything that we can do to help you tonight, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.